Well, what'd you get your mom for Mother's Day? A Hallmark card, $4.99. Dozen roses, $25. Diamond bracelet, if she doesn't even play tennis, $500. Trip to France, $7,000. New car, $25,000. Words of appreciation for all you are and all you do, priceless. Amen?
Amen.
I want to preach a message this morning. I'm entitling How to Praise a Woman. It'll be turning to Proverbs 31. There's very good reason that we read these words in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And we talked about this yesterday in our men's group in Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Could it be that the greatest sin is not that some of you are going to vote for Trump and some of you are going to vote for Hillary? The greatest sin is not some of you are not going to tithe or are going to lie or cheat or steal or maybe smoke some dope or drink some alcohol or watch some pornography. Could it be one of the greatest sins is simply failure to praise one another, failure to fulfill 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, forgetting in this life to be sure our loved ones know you are loved for all you are and all you do. There was a story told of a guy that went to a drugstore, and there was a boy in there that was trying to buy a dozen roses for his mom. And he asked if he could buy a dozen roses for $6. And the cashier looks at him and is kind of shaking his head like, no, dude, not $6. And the guy behind him, you know, says, hey, I got this. I'll pay for this. And so he pays for it. And he watches a little boy walk out of the drugstore, walk about a half a mile down the road. And he follows him and he walks through this gate into a graveyard. And he walks up to a grave and he lays these flowers on this grave. And he says, mommy, oh, mommy. Why didn't I tell you how much I love you? Why didn't I tell you one more time? Jesus, find my mommy and tell her I love her. Oh, how many times we've been guilty of that, amen? And so using Proverbs 31 and a dozen roses, I want to show you how to praise a woman. Guys, you want a wife who's a 10? How about a 12? I'm going to give you 12 things from this text to think about. And guys, listen, this is not a grade session. Well, my wife's only a 5. Well, 10s are unrealistic, and so are 12s, especially if you've looked in the mirror lately. Amen? Hashtag, you ain't perfect. Likewise, ladies, listen, this is not a guilt session. I know the Proverbs 31 woman makes you cringe and want to slap her, okay? This is an ideal woman. Very few women meet all 12 of these. It's something to strive for, not to just stress yourself out over and guilt yourself to death if you don't attain it. The point is, if you find something or someone praiseworthy, you ought to give that something or someone praise. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 4:8, Paul ends it by saying, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so you may be saying, well, this message ain't applicable to me because I'm not a mama. Yes, it is, because everybody in here has been affected by motherhood. You either have a mother, you had a mother, you are a mother, you're married to a mother, or you know a mother who indeed is worthy of praise, and we ought to praise her today. Amen? And so let's look at how to praise a woman. Stand with me to honor the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. May God honor and bless the reading of His word and the preaching thereof. Father, we come to you today. Father, and we are just so thankful to be in your presence today. For where two or three are gathered, you are here with us. And so we thank you for that truth. We thank you for every mom that is here today that has gone on to glory. Father, we honor them today. Help us to know how we, as men and also as women, can praise a woman, Father, that we will then turn that back and bring honor and glory to you. For it's only in your precious Son's name that we have any hope in this life, in the life to come. We ask that you would bless this time now in the precious name that is above every name, and that is your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
You may be seated.
And so 12 things that if you find these in a woman are praiseworthy and ought to be praised. Number one is trustworthy. If in your bulletin you have there should be a line, each one, you can write it in. Didn't write those in, so you could write them in. They're on the screen, underlined, trustworthy. Stephen Covey in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People said this. He said, trust is the glue of life. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships. Someone else as well said, the most expensive thing in the world is this, trust. It takes years to earn and just a matter of seconds to lose. A woman who is trustworthy is of inestimable value. Not just words, but actions. Think of the following and look in there in verse 11. Is your wife trustworthy in these things? Money. The common ancient practice in a house of distrust was to keep your valuables locked up so your wife couldn't access them. And some of you are going to go home and padlock your bank account and lock down your stuff. Amen? But if your wife is trustworthy with money, you should praise her. It says no lack of gain. Her thriftiness and industriousness add to your wealth, not subtract it. And so if you've got a woman that is trustworthy with money, praise God for her. If not, send her to Marty's class, Financial Peace, and he'll school her, okay? Next, how about the house? You saw it in the video. Have you ever asked your wife, honey, can you? And she says, yep, I've already taken care of it. Honey, did you? Yep, I've already taken care of it. You got a wife that's trustworthy at home, praise God for her. How about in the avenue of speech? Ephesians 5:33 says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Respect. One of the bigger ways I see women fail in this is how they talk about their husbands in public. I mean, I'm telling you, to say yellow belly, good for nothing, dirty scoundrel would sound better than some of the things that I have heard women say openly in public about their husbands. I can only imagine what you say in private to your girlfriends. Well, wait, I've overheard some of that too. And it's not just what you say in public, but it's about but what you say to him in private. Do you lie? Do you keep stuff from him? Do you hide stuff? Do you badmouth him at home? Are you a blabbermouth? Look at Proverbs 11:13. Can your husband trust you with secrets? Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. I can trust my wife that if I tell her something, it's not going past her, and that is it. And so do you backbite, you gossip, you lie by omission or commission. Guys, if you have a woman that is trustworthy in speech, you ought to praise her. And then integrity. Look at Hebrews chapter 13:4. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled." Gals, do you have eyes only for your husband? If you don't, fix it immediately. Guys, does your wife have eyes only for you? Then praise God for that woman. Amen? And so if your lady in your life is trustworthy, then you should praise her. Number two is companionship. Companionship. Notice what Solomon writes in verse 12. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She does him good. In other words, she is the definition of a helpmeet. Truer words were never spoken in Genesis 2:18. It is not good that the man should be alone. Amen, men? I mean, we can't even find our other shoe when it's laying on the floor right slap dab in front of us.
Amen.
There's a lot of amens.
It's going to get even better. Most of you, if you were left to cook, clean, and fend for yourself, you'd wear the same dirty pair of pants 53 times in a row, and you'd look like you just got out of a concentration camp. Amen? Praise God for the woman who does you good. The flip side is, praise a woman who also does you not harm. One of the greatest ways a woman can do a man harm is this right here. Constantly nag and contend with and break him down instead of build him up. Listen to these Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 9. "It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife." Verse 19, "It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman." 27:15 says, "A continual or constant drip on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike." You know what a constant drip is like? Drip, 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 drip. It'll drive you crazy, won't it? And so, ladies, you are great at friendships. Y'all are much better at friendships than us guys ever could hope to be. But let me ask you, if you had a friendship, a BFF girl friendship, and it's marked by the other person is a constant nag and constantly quarreling with you, how long would that friendship last? Not long at all, so why do you do it to your husbands? So the rhetorical question is, obviously not long, that's why Solomon then says, all the days of her life. Lifelong partners. Husband and wife should be BFFs. They truly enjoy spending time with each other. Why else do we submit ourselves to watch chick flicks and Nicholas Spark movies? Amen.
Amen.
Why else do we torture ourselves with 2 hours of going to the mall? In which this is how my path looks when I go to the mall. From the car to where I need and back. And this is how the woman's looks, right? It's like some kids done scribbled on a piece of paper. Why else, though, would they then sit down and watch a football game, an action movie, that they don't care anything whatsoever about? Or spend some time in an activity that bores her to death? Only activity I haven't been able to get my wife to partake in is deer hunting. That's because she said she ain't getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so it's just not going to happen. We have to find other ways to spend shoulder-to-shoulder time, right? Remember what I said last week, Song of Solomon. What did he say about her? "You are my beloved, but you also are what? My sister." And she said, "You are my beloved." And she also said, "You are what? My friend." And so, if you have a lady in your house and she's a good companion, good companionship, then you ought to praise her. Number three is hardworking. Hardworking. Look at verse 13. "She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands." Thomas Edison once said, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work." Any of you owning a business, you can say amen to that one. Amen. If you read 13 to 24, the Proverb 31 woman doesn't miss a whole lot of opportunity. You know why? Because she is not afraid to get her hands dirty and to work. In fact, look, you see that the word hands is used many times. 13, look at 16 with the fruit of her hands. 19 puts her hands to the distaff. Her hands hold the spindle, 20. She opens her hand to the poor, reaches them out to the needy, and 24 makes linen garments and sells them. And ladies, I know right here in these verses, this is where the wheels start to fall off the wagon, isn't it? This is where you read and you really start to cringe. You say, these verses are impossible. Ridiculous. First, recall what I said. This is an ideal. One pastor said this, it would be quite a task for any woman to emulate this pattern. I mean, it'd take Betty Crocker, Betsy Ross, Susie Homemaker, Joanna Fixer-Upper Gaines, and Martha Stewart. Okay, bad example on that one. Scratch that one. But it would take all of these rolled up into one to be able to do these things in verses 13 to 24, wouldn't it? But again, it's an ideal. I don't want to guilt you into this, but think about this. This is what I really want you to understand, is that most of you are already doing this. You just don't recognize it. Who is it that does the vast majority of the shopping, cooking, and cleaning, washing, drying, and folding, and putting up with clothes? And the washing dishes, and caring for the kids, and making the house look cute and livable? I mean, if it was up to me, there'd be dirt tracks all through there from deer season. Probably the rest of the time, we already got deer heads all over the place. I mean, it would not be a cute and livable, lovable looking place, would it? As it's been said, man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And so many of you work your fingers to the bone. You do it not only in your homes, you do it in the church, and you do it in your community. And so let me tell you, ladies, from the bottom of our heart, thank you for all the hard work that you do to make our homes be a home, our church to be a church, because it wouldn't run without you, and our communities to be what they are. Thank you for what you do for us.
That's good.
And so, moms, can I encourage you for a second? You see, because the going's going to get tough, and you've picked up little Johnny's clothes for the 103rd time this week, and you're about ready to wrap him upside his head. Amen? And the big oaf, your husband, who has failed to appreciate something you've done for about the 99th time today, remember who you're working for. Amen. Turn to Colossians 3. When you think, I've picked up these knuckleheads' clothes and stuff, I can't take no more. Lordy and Jesus, these people about to make me break four of the Ten Commandments. Think Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily. As for who? The Lord. Not for men. Knowing from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're working for Him, and you've got something laid up for you way more precious than our words, and that's a crown. Amen? And so, hey, if you got a lady in your family and she's hard working, praise her. Four is caring. Caring. Look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Now, many of you read that and you instantly just started cringing and feeling guilty because you aren't getting up every morning and fixing a four-course breakfast of eggs, country ham, biscuits, and tomato gravy for your husband, and you should feel guilty of that. I'm just kidding. My wife knows I put all of that in there because that's about my favorite breakfast right there. But again, it's not a guilt session. It doesn't mean you got to get up at 3 a.m. and go out and get, you know, fresh eggs from the chickens and bring them back in and have a 12-course meal cooked. Again, think of this. Who gets up with the baby in the middle of the night? Who cleans puke while who is sleeping? Who stays awake most of the time until the kids get home safe? Who gets them ready for school August 1st to May 25th? And if both of you are sick at the same time, who takes care of who? Who puts others before themselves? As one man said, he said, my mama never ate a hot supper. And so, moms, we thank you for everything you do to care for us, and we don't say enough that we appreciate it. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, it says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The sluggard could just as well go instead up to the ant, to our moms and wives, and consider her ways and be wise. Amen? And how she cares for us. And so if you've got a lady in your family and she's caring, then you ought to praise her. Alright, fifth is wisdom. Wisdom, look at verse 16 and 26. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. It's been well said, if you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. That's biblical. That's James 1:5 right there. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God. Amen. Here's what I would add. Get on your knees and get in the Word. Amen. Cassie did a great job this past Wednesday night. If you haven't been coming, if you are an adult, we might want to just do prayer meeting either quickly before and come on in here. She did a great job of teaching on the necessity of Scripture, that it's necessary for us to know God's will. And so you could define wisdom as God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and implement the will of God in that matter. Praise God for wise moms and wives. We see it in their actions in verse 16 that she considers a field and buys it. Do you have a wife that is resourceful? That coupons and Pinterest? Now, I get on to my wife for this. I say, look, there are some things I do not want the Great Value brand. Okay? I want name brand for this. But I thank her that she is at least willing to do that in wisdom to try and take our family in a positive way financially and invest it. And what about words? Do you husbands value your wife's input on all matters? Is she like a trusted counselor to you? Do you go to her for some wisdom sometimes? Any of you whose wife has saved you from embarrassment at the ball field or in the gym, kept me from getting probably more technicals, or I'm sure probably kept me from getting thrown out of a couple of all-star games. Kept you from maybe doing some dumb mistakes. You know, Vicki has been invaluable in decisions I've had to make spiritually. When it's been on a mission trip and I wanted to throw my hands up and I said, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. And she said, what do you think you came for? Party? You think I'm standing here as your pastor behind this pulpit without the wisdom that that woman imparted to me and helping me make a decision? Absolutely not. And then here recently, you know, sometimes, I think it was Elaine last night was talking about, yeah, you remember we were talking about that one guy? And I was like, yeah, I probably got a little sideways with him on Facebook. I tend to do that sometimes. Amen. And so my wife said, you know, the other day she said, you got to kind of know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when to walk away. And so it was wise words. Let me ask you guys, are you rich? Listen to Proverbs 19:14. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent, wise wife is from the Lord. If you got a wife who is wise when it comes to spiritual things, you beyond a 401k, amen? And so if the lady in your family imparts wisdom, you ought to praise her. Number 6 is compassionate. Verse 20, she opens her hands to the poor, reaches out her hands to the needy. Guys, how does your wife look? She dressed nice? Now, I ain't talking Versace. I'm talking Colossians 3:12. It says, be clothed with a compassionate heart. You know, the kids would probably never get any sympathy if it wasn't for Mama. Amen. The other day we had men of Tipton meeting after we had it at the house. And Will is nailing up the shutter that I've left for quite a while. You know, given that it's part of his Mother's Day gift to his mama. We're sitting there at the table, and you know, this is just how I'm used to with two boys. And Matthew comes running by with a rope about this long and a stick that he's fashioned into a spear with a knife he's shoved on it and taped on it. And he goes, Dad, I may die at any moment. And I said, well, don't go out there and have that knife up on the ladder. And that was it. And Kevin's like, hey, hold on, before we can get back to talking about Minnetonka County. Matthew's like, I'm going to die in just a second. Bucky's like, okay, just don't get anything dirty, you know. I mean, if it wasn't for the moms, would we have a whole lot of compassion? Think about how our moms help the least of these. How they fulfill Matthew 25. Does she fix and carry meals to others? Show hospitality? Pray for the sick and lost? Bag stuff up and take it to the hub or Goodwill? One person said, the hands that grasp to produce open wide to provide. Do you see in her life, let your light show, so shine before men that they may glorify your Father? Do the folks in the community speak highly of your wife? You want to hear what somebody's got to say about my wife, you go find Poncho Chumley or Billy, and they'll tell you exactly what they think she's done for the community. You want to find out what Heather has done for the community, go ask the folks at Tipton Animal Rescue. I guarantee you they'll tell you. Amy Daugherty, ask any parent. Brighton Middle School. I could go on and on. But here's one that's probably all-inclusive, every mom, wife in here. Guys, does your wife spend hours on the phone giving advice to any number of folks, all hours of the day and night, and then invite them to the church in the process? Or point them to the Lord? And so, hey, if your lady is compassionate, you ought to praise her. Number 7 is prepared. Prepared, look at verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. One of the, I believe it's Hoodwinked. It's one of our favorite family movies. You know the song in there? Be prepared, be prepared. This lesson must be shared. This lesson must be shared. Be prepared. That's moms, amen? David Letterman said, Halloween is the beginning of the holiday shopping season. That's for women. The beginning of the holiday shopping season for men is Christmas Eve. Amen. I mean, could you imagine what our Thanksgiving tables would have on them if it was up to us men to plan the meal?
Steak.
Could you imagine what our Christmas trees would have underneath them if it was up to us to plan to get all the gifts? Could you imagine what kids' birthdays and summer vacations would look like if all the planning was left up to dads? We're just going to show up and wing it, amen? I mean, now kids, and that includes the 44-year-old and the 65-year-old variety, you ought to thank your mom or the lady in your family every time she remembers something you forgot. She brings you your medication. Had to throw you in there under the bus, brother. I ain't done it in a long time. Every time she thinks of something that you don't think of, every time she plans ahead and bails you out of a jam, any of you had last second projects and your mom was up to midnight helping you get it done?
No.
Any of you, mom, you called her and you said,
Mommy, I'm going to starve today if you don't bring me some lunch money and it's 5 minutes before lunch?
Absolutely. Moms are always so prepared, aren't they? You don't know how prepared they are. Look in their purses. I mean, they got a small hospital and a command center in that thing. Amen. And so, hey, if the lady in your family is always prepared, you ought to praise her. Number 8 is attractive. Attractive. Verse 22, she makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Hey, this is what us guys like the most, ain't it? Attractive. And women, I mean, we applaud y'all. Y'all go to great lengths to look good. I mean, bikini wax, pedicures, curling irons. I saw a medical article that said 105,000 hair care product related injuries in a 5-year period, and 78% of them were curling irons. I mean, looking good is hazardous to your health. Amen? And let me tell you something, guys. If they go through all of that to look that good, you best notice. Amen? If you walk in, you might want to be sure her hair looks maybe different than when you went out the door this morning, right? But here's the thing. You know the best compliment? When she's beautiful, not only outside, but inside. That's a score. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3. Don't let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Dr. McGee says this. He says, young man, first you should look for a wife who is a Christian, then I hope you get a good looking one in the bargain. Hey, if the lady in your family is attractive inside and out, you ought to praise her. Number 9 is reputation. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She made a significant contribution to his position and success. In other words, she doesn't just make herself look good, she makes you look good. Amen?
Hey.
And this is despite a lot of mess-ups and character flaws and tendencies on our parts, right? It's been said, behind every good man is a good woman. No, it's beside from your rib. You know what? It's not that I wouldn't be half the man I am without this woman right here on the front row. I wouldn't be a man at all. You see, because I wouldn't be saved and I'd still be stuck in boyhood, having never made it to biblical manhood. And so Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. I know plenty of wives who make their husbands look bad. So if your wife makes you look good, then you ought to praise her. Number 10 is optimistic. Optimistic, look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. How pleasant is it to have a mom or wife who isn't always worried and fretting about everything and in full confidence faces tomorrow and the day after and the next day and the next year? The New Living Translation says it this way: she laughs without fear of the future. The Message says she always faces tomorrow with a smile. Maybe if you're like me, you can especially appreciate this one. Those of you who know me best, I can tend to be Eeyore-ish and see the worst in any given situation, can't I?
Yes.
And beat myself up, can't I? Fretful and anxious, hand-wringing, can't I? And I look over and Vicky's cool, calm, and collected. And I'm like, well, why aren't you worrying? And she's like, let go and let God, amen. Just like the lady in the video, God's got this. In Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ. He's going to strengthen us. As Kevin prayed, yeah, God's going to meet our every need. He's already got this one, not in the bag. He's got it in the bank because He's got innumerable riches. Amen. Would you enjoy being around more, pessimists or optimists? Optimists, unless you're having a pity party, and then you won't be around a bunch of pessimists, right? But hey, if the lady in your household is optimistic, then you ought to praise her. Number 11 is pleasant words. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 18:21, we looked at this yesterday too in our men's group. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How blessed if your mom, wife understands that. Remember what I said earlier? It's better to live in a corner of the housetop, a desert land, in a house with a quarrelsome woman. It's like a constant drip, drip, drip. Moms, examine yourself and examine your speech. Does it pass the test of James chapter 3? Does it pass the test of Colossians 4:6? Let your speech be gracious, always seasoned with salt. We talked about it yesterday. How many times have we glibly sang in our lives, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That ain't true, is it? And so guys, be thankful your mom, your wife has taught your you kindness, and your wife is teaching your kids kindness. Otherwise, your kids would probably WWE and folks with verbal elbows, wouldn't they? And so if the lady in your life has pleasant words always to say, then you should praise her. And then the final one, number 12, is God-fearing. God-fearing, verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Dads are good at exercising physical muscles, aren't they? Moms are a lot better at exercising spiritual muscles. The Barna survey, it said 12 different elements of faith they looked at as far as behavior and perspective. Moms were distinct from and outperformed dads on guess how many of them? Out of 12. 11. 11. And it led Barna to say this, that fathers don't measure up to the spiritual footprint a lot of times of their parenting counterpart. I'm going to tell you, young people, you can get all the knowledge in the world because I had it and thought I had it. You can get a Bachelor of Science degree. You can get an MD. You can get a PhD. You can get a JD. But if your mom educates you and gives you a degree in JC, and G-O-D, praise God for that woman. Amen?
Amen?
What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? As I was thinking about this, I thought it brings to my mind Lois and Eunice. And Paul said, I'm reminded of the faith that first dwelt in who? In your mama and in your grandmama. That's discipleship, amen? And husbands, if you're lost, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, 1 Peter 3:1 says that they can win you without a word by the conduct of their wives. Praise God, you have a daily testimony living in your house, amen? And if you're saved, Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Do you praise God that you have a daily helpmeet that helps you to accomplish that sometimes seemingly overwhelming task to serve the Lord? Amen. Amen. And so if you have a lady in your family that is God-fearing, then you ought to praise her. And so in closing, there's an old proverb that says this: "Flowers leave their fragrance on the hand that bestows them." There's a poem written about this proverb, and it says, "You can't pluck a rose all fragrant with dew without part of its fragrance remaining on you." Guys, women love to receive flowers. You know why? Not just because they look pretty and make the house smell good, but it's because of the meaning that is attached to them. You want me to prove that to you? Have you ever seen your wife, the one of the kids, bring them a bouquet of weeds? And they love it. Why? Because she knows what it symbolizes. And so, guys, we don't just give them some flowers. We verbalize it, too. And so, we get a blessing out of it. The fragrance is still on our fingers. We're better husbands and better kids when we praise our wives and our mothers. And so, what we need to do, remember in the video, basically he said, what? You are the gift. Today, what I want to challenge you with as you leave here today is not so much what did you give your mom or your wife for Mother's Day, what gift, but you tell her why she is the gift. And I would challenge you to take these 12 things and write her a letter to your mom or your wife if she exemplifies these, and thank her for each of those that we've listed. And if your mom is deceased, then here's the challenge. You think of those things that she exemplified in her life, and you write those things out, and then you share them with your kids and with your husband as a legacy for your family in the honor of her name. Amen? And so as Jacob comes up for time of invitation, we've talked a lot about this morning love and gifts. Love and gifts. The greatest something someone praiseworthy is God Himself and His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You talk about the greatest sin. That's the greatest sin. How often do we fail to praise God for who He is and what He has done on the cross? Because the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the greatest word in the English language, but God commendeth, God demonstrated His love towards us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're here today, I want to ask you, is the biggest thing that you have failed to do is to praise God by rejecting His Son? Don't do it one more time today. God is commanding you under the authority of the gospel to come up here and to receive Him by believing on His Son and repenting. Do that today. And if you're here today and you're saved, I don't know what you put in that offering plate today, but God can say hooey with that if you haven't shown Him a sacrifice of praise with your lips. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 13:15. "Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name." So the challenge for you is to constantly praise His wonderful name. And so as you stand for this time of invitation, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, come believe Him, receive Him, repent from your ways, the error of your ways. If you've been with us and God is calling you to membership at Crossway, if you have believed and repented in the past but you have never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and as I was talking about yesterday, if what you really want to say through baptism is this, that the old man is dead, He's crucified, and I'm going to bury Him, never to resurrect Him again, and to walk in newness of life, and you want to pronounce that to the world and to God and everybody here this morning, come, and we will get you ready to be baptized. But if that's not your heart, then don't come. Amen. And so whatever it is, God is calling you to this morning. Listen to His voice this morning. Testimony, but says that he feels that really within the last year the Lord has truly saved him. They had both been baptized previously, but by showering or sprinkling, and so I told them I'm not going to make them get dunked, but that's biblical. It's not Baptist, it's biblical. Amen.
Amen.
And so talked with them about that, and they do want that biblical baptism, and they are saying that the old person is dead. And it's crucified, buried, and they're walking in newness of life. And so we rejoice in that. So they bring their precious daughters with them as well, Genevieve and Stella. And so they are beautiful girls, and we're thankful to have this family here with us today. And so we're going all in favor of accepting them upon their profession of faith and then
aye.
Presentation for believers' baptism. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Absolutely not. And so a blessed day today, not just for our mothers, but for this time for them to come and join with us. And we're so thankful for that. So I'm going to ask if everybody will stand and if Marty will close this out in prayer. And then I'm going to ask that you come by and give them a big old howdy and welcome and that we love them, okay? So Marty, if you'll pray for us this morning.
Father God, we love you so much.